Elsewhere in Pennsylvania government, medicine and politics are on a collision course. A bill making its way through the state legislature has split a community that's usually united by a common diagnosis, and it could be the next front in the abortion debate. NewsWorks Tonight producer Shai Ben-Yaakov talked to families on both sides of the divide.
Hi, Lynn. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Lynn and Kevin Edis of Northwest Philadelphia had a difficult time starting a family.
I actually had three miscarriages before I became pregnant with Hazel, and
that's Hazel playing on the floor with her dad. Hazel is 20 months old. When I arrive, she smiles and waves at me, and while she can't yet walk, she squirms and rolls around the room with ease. Hazel also has Down syndrome. Her diagnosis was a shock for both parents.
I remember being at work, and Kevin and I at the time worked together, and the genetic counselor called me. And before I got off the phone, I remember being like, well, do you know, can you just tell me what the sex of the baby? Because, like, you know, it was like the weirdest thing. Like, I got this devastating diagnosis, and I left the office, and I went over to Kevin's desk, and I was crying at that point.
Lynn was about 17 weeks pregnant, past the end of the first trimester. An amniocentesis to confirm the diagnosis took another couple weeks. In Pennsylvania, a pregnant woman has until 24 weeks to terminate a pregnancy. The clock was ticking.
They said to us, you know, you only have, it was like 2 or 3 weeks to make a decision. And it was hard. I mean, we, you know, having had three miscarriages and, you know, that whole idea of like what your family is going to be like, I think is just completely turned upside down.
Many parents in this situation say there are a million questions.
And you think to yourself, can I handle this?
Can I give this child what they need? Can I afford to quit my job or scale back? And who will take care of them when I'm gone?
And there was a lot of crying, a lot of crying.
Lynn and Kevin decided to move forward with the pregnancy. A few months later, Hazel was born.
You know, I think all that worry we had beforehand went away the second she was born. And, we fell in love with her right away, obviously.
All the members voted. The clerk will record the vote. The yeas are 139, the nays are 56.
A bill in the legislature would make it so parents like Lynn and Kevin no longer have a choice. Last month, Pennsylvania lawmakers approved House Bill 2050. The bill would ban abortions in cases like Hazel's, where there's a prenatal diagnosis of Down syndrome. It has yet to be taken up in the Senate, and the governor has said he would veto it if it reached his desk. Similar laws have already passed in four other states. Two in Ohio and Indiana have been suspended following court challenges from the ACLU. The bill is creating a divide within the Down syndrome community, normally supportive of one another and universally enthusiastic about their children and their abilities. Lynn and Kevin love their daughter, and they believe her life is worth living, but they don't support this bill.
I'm pro-choice. I believe that it's a woman's right to choose to keep a child or not. We made the right choice for us. I don't think that it's the government's right to tell somebody that they have to have a child because they have a certain diagnosis.
But advocates like Jeremy Samick frame the bill as anti-discrimination legislation. He's senior counsel with the Pro-Life Pennsylvania Family Institute. The group points to places like Iceland, where nearly all such pregnancies are terminated.
When they promote it, they talk about it being an eradication of Down syndrome as if they've eradicated the disease. But we would never say that we've eradicated homelessness by eradicating homeless people. Right. And I think that's essentially what they're doing here.
Samick speaks from a position at an organization opposed to abortion, but he also speaks as a parent of a child with Down syndrome.
For our daughter, we adopted her. She's doing wonderful. She's doing wonderful. She has four older brothers. She engages everybody she meets, smiles at strangers, waves at strangers, talks to strangers in her own chatty language.
At the heart of this debate is a question. Can the government stop parents from choosing which children to have? It's not an easy one to answer. Women in Pennsylvania can have an abortion for any reason or no reason at all. There are no restrictions, except one, says Temple Law professor Rachel Rebuchet.
There are 8 states, I think, that have sex-selective abortion bans.
Pennsylvania happens to be one of the 8 states where you can't terminate a pregnancy because of the sex of the baby. In 2 of those 8, Illinois and Indiana, the laws have been halted by federal judges. Rebuchet says these cases will likely wind their way through the courts, possibly as far as the Supreme Court.
I think this is a really tough issue. And I think that, you know, if you ask most people, should people be able to terminate pregnancies for any reason, and what about if the reasons, you know, eye color or sex, gender, you know, people start to have very complicated reactions.
When we look at the word eugenics itself, this fits squarely within that box.
Again, Jeremy Samick.
It's an effort to look at society and say, this is what we think the standard of perfection is when it comes to human beings. And those kind of things ought not happen.
All of the parents I spoke with agree. Their children have enriched their lives. But the most vociferous critics of this legislation argue it has nothing to do with Down syndrome.
I think it's reprehensible that they are using children with Down syndrome, you know, as a wedge in this issue.
That's Rabbi Mordechai Liebling, an activist supporting various liberal causes, who also has a 27-year-old son with Down syndrome.
The world is definitely a far richer place to have people with Down syndrome in it. But that is not the reason to pass a law that denies women's right to choose.
Temple's Rachel Rebiche agrees lawmakers pushing the bill seem to have an underlying motive.
It's clear that these laws are being passed by Republican legislators based on model legislation that Americans United for the Defense of Life publishes. They every year publish a state guide that gives people examples of laws that they could pass in their state, and the laws are designed to really test the constitutional claims that attach to abortion.
And when the bill's sponsor, Pennsylvania House Speaker Mike Terzai, talked about the bill on the House floor, he talked about more than just Down syndrome.
In the end, abortion is a violent act not against potential life, but against a living, growing human being, a life with potential.
If the bill does become law, pro-choice interest groups are already vowing to fight it in court. Shai Ben-Yakov, WHYY News.
Let's take a closer look at Pennsylvania House Bill 2050 with John Misek, opinions editor at Penn Live and The Patriot News. John, welcome back to Newsworks Tonight.
Dave, thanks for having me.
What, if anything, has transpired in the intervening weeks since the bill passed in the House?
Well, so far, nothing. This is the Down syndrome abortion bill we're talking about. It came out of the House a little bit earlier this year. Now sitting over in the Republican-controlled state Senate, we're on a primary break at the moment. The two chambers coming back to work next week, May 22nd, and we'll see what happens from there.
Were there any hearings in advance of the House vote, and are any scheduled around this stage of it?
Not a one in the House, and State Representative Kathy Rapp of Crawford County, the chairwoman of the House Health Committee, had told me she'd actually planned it that way. She said she didn't feel a need to bring any experts in to testify in on this very sensitive bill. And the bill is now going to the Senate Judiciary Committee. And the last time I checked in with Senator Stuart Greenlee's office, the chairman, they had not planned anything either.
Should it get to Governor Wolf's desk, is there any ambiguity about whether he'll sign it?
No, this one's heading for a straight gubernatorial veto. The governor's office has been pretty clear about that. Their position on these bills is that this is the province of a woman and her physician, and that the legislature should not put itself in the middle of it.
You wrote on this topic earlier and called this in part an exercise in election year politics. Explain.
Well, I mean, you know, Republicans are looking to hold on to their majorities in the state House and in the state Senate. There's a chance for some Democratic pickups in the state House, and you can bet that they'll be out there campaigning on this. We're also in the midst of a hotly contested gubernatorial election between Governor Tom Wolf, a Democrat, and whoever emerges from the Republican gubernatorial primary. And you can bet that that will be an issue as well. That Governor Wolf will put himself out there as sort of a defender of women's reproductive rights and say that his Republican rival, whoever that is, will do what they can to erode support for that.
Are there any accommodations in this bill to enable parents who have a Down syndrome child?
You mean in terms of support or,
yes,
or that kind of thing?
Mm-hmm.
No, there aren't. That's another of the great ironies here. Republicans are banning this are banning Down syndrome abortions, but provide no support services for parents on the back end who have Down syndrome babies.
Thanks, John.
Thanks, Dave.
John Misek, opinions editor at Penn Live and The Patriot News.